we're going to be talking about what went on first at Antioch. And this is in early Acts. We're getting to Acts. We talked about the fall of Israel. We talked about the salvation of Paul, Saul of Tarsus. And we're getting up now to, we talked a little bit about Cornelius. Plan to talk about him some more. But chapter 11 and 12 get into what went on there in Antioch. In the past, we've looked at the differences that different events in Acts, that were made by these different events. In Acts 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, Acts 6 was the council that decided to try Stephen, and then they stoned him in Acts 7. Acts 8, we talked about Samaria, individuals in Samaria getting an opportunity to still receive the kingdom gospel as preached by Philip and then by Peter and John, I think, were the authorities sent from Israel, from Jerusalem church. And Cornelius. So now we want to see how some of those differences apply to the events in Acts 11 through 14. And to start off with, we want to consider the difference in the Bible between disciples and Christians in Acts, in the uses that the Bible gives them. There's a lot of ideas, a lot of opinions, a lot of teaching. I'm going to try and ferret, that's an old super heterodyne idea, but try to get to what the Bible is actually saying. There's three places in the Bible that the word Christian is used. Christian as we know it today, the word Christian. In so doing, we should avoid the use of non-scriptural terms, terms that are, well, like I mentioned last night, instead of talking about Israel's blinding and casting away, the Bible talks about those. Instead, many people talk about Israel being set aside or put on the shelf. You know, why not use what the Bible, the words the Bible uses? So, although the words disciple and Christian are in the scripture, Paul didn't use either word. So it's not in Paul's writings. It is used about him, though, in a conversation, in Acts. Paul didn't write Acts, but it's used in Acts. In order to define these two words, disciple and Christian, we need to expand the dictionary definition to include how the words are used in the context of the Bible, in Bible times. First of all, to dispel any misunderstandings, disciple is a different word with different meanings than apostle. Apostle means a sent out one. It goes beyond what a missionary is. A missionary is a sent one. An apostle is sent out, meaning with a special purpose, something to accomplish. Now, a missionary has a mission too, but it's more in a more of a general sense. Oxford dictionaries say disciples are, now this is not, I don't know if you want to use this as an authority or not. I'm stating it as a starting point here, and we'll see what the Bible says, though. Disciples are followers or learners. Those two ideas they're probably aspects of the same thing. When you talk about a disciple, it's a learner that follows or a follower that learns. Wikipedia says the New Testament records many followers of Jesus during his ministry, but only some became disciples. And from the use of the word in Matthew through Acts, disciples seems to include also the thought of being correctable. Did I say that clearly? Correctable. In other words, putting your side, your point away, your ideas away, and strictly keeping to what is taught by the one we're following, by Jesus Christ, through Paul, and the revelation of the mystery to Paul, the telling of the secret to Paul. So, in other words, disciples are correctable followers instead of being resistive followers. They're correctable learners instead of being resistive or defiant learners. And Oxford Dictionary says a Christian is a person who has received Christian baptism. That's a very common thinking about it. People that think that we're to be baptized into Israel like John the Baptist was doing. No, we're not a kingdom of priests. We went through that in the first lesson, or the one previous. First lesson was yesterday. This the one we did earlier today is second lesson, I guess. But anyway, the idea of baptism was for a kingdom of priests, which only Israel had been promised. So it's a moot point for us. But that's only one of the two things that Oxford Dictionary says about a Christian, a person that has received Christian baptism, or is a believer in Jesus Christ and his teachings. Now, that's Oxford's dictionary's idea, okay? That's what they've gathered from common usage, I guess, and people that have talked about it. Christians are simply disciples to whom the righteousness of God has been imputed due to believing Paul's gospel of Christ crucified for our sins. So there were either disbelievers or disciples or Christian disciples. Those that didn't believe or those that did believe and follow Jesus as disciples, or those that believed as a Christian believes. We still haven't gotten into much here, so if you can let, you know, if you just came in, fine. This is... nothing is written in stone. In fact, we've been talking about dictionaries and Wikipedia and stuff. That's opinions. That's conjecture. You know, gave us a place to start, I guess, but let's go on. The Acts chapter 8, verse 1, and Acts chapter 9, verse 1, persecution of the Church of God, Church of God being Israel's kingdom church there, with the 12 apostles, that prophetic church, the persecution of that church, which was at Jerusalem, scattered kingdom church believers. It scattered them all over the place until its reversal in Acts 10, verse 15. They only preached to the Jews and the Greek-speaking Jews as they had been told in Matthew 10, verses 5 to 8. Now, I was reading that out of my notes, and it's hard to understand for me even to understand as I'm reading it. But as the persecution occurred there in Jerusalem, in the Church of God, that prophetic church with the 12 apostles, most of them scattered. It says that the disciples, apostles stayed in Jerusalem, but most of the rest of them scattered. And it says that they preached to the Jews and the Greek-speaking, the Greek, well, let me get that verse up here. Where is it? I don't have that. Let me see. I think that's, I got this new setup. And I can't find things. I got seven windows open. Hold on a minute. Let me see if I can find that. I think that's in 11:19, isn't it? Acts 11:19. And when Herod saw it, no, that's 12:19. 11:19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. So that's what I'm saying. That was what they were told to do in Matthew 10, verses 5 through 8. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, or into any city of the Samaritans enter ye. So they were to only go to the Jews. Until that was reversed in Acts 10, verse 15. And I guess I should go ahead and read that since we read the other one. The voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. So this sheet coming down out of heaven with all kinds of unclean animals that they're not supposed to eat, and the Lord tells Peter to eat it, and he says, I've never eaten those things. And the voice spake again unto him a second time, What God has cleansed, thou call not common. And so he went to Cornelius the Gentile. After, you know, in Matthew 10:5, they'd been told not to go to Gentiles. He did it because of this new revelation to Peter that he should include Gentile, preaching to Gentiles during that diminishing period after the fall of Israel. This was in Acts 10, after the fall of Israel. So I didn't plan on that rabbit trail there, but I hope it didn't confuse too much. Some of those that went in the scattering went north to Syrian Antioch. In this, you can picture the end of the right side of the Mediterranean there, with Israel at the bottom of the right side, and toward the top was Syria, which contained a town called Antioch. And we refer to that, I'm going to refer to that as Syrian Antioch, because there is also in Pisidia, up on the north side of the Mediterranean, there's I just read something in text. Sorry about that. On the north side, there's another Antioch in the province of Pisidia, and that's Pisidian Antioch. But we're talking about some of those scattered people went north to Syrian Antioch and started meeting as the Jewish Church of God in Antioch. So Syrian Antioch certainly started as a refugee outpost of the Church of God in Jerusalem. And you can see that in those verses we just read, and the next one too. That was Acts 11, verses 19 and 20. There was tremendous growth in the prophecy kingdom church of God during that period. After that 8,000 that was entered into the church, added to the church, it says, in Acts, before the scattering, in Acts 2 and 3 and 4. I think it's in 4 too. That's when the Holy Spirit is given to the entire group, not just to the apostles like in chapter 2. The Cornelius event there in Acts 10, where Peter is told to go to this believing Gentile, it validated some changes, including the then recent Acts 7 end of the immediate kingdom offer to Israel. Israel believed from that point on they were not to believe. They were told not to believe that the kingdom was at hand. The kingdom was still promised and it will come. It was out there in the future and it's still out there in the future today. It hasn't come yet. Daniel 2:44 says when it comes, it'll be here forever. So it's not here now. The God of this world is still Satan. God has not reclaimed his authority on this earth yet through Israel, and he has not yet reclaimed his authority in the heavens by the body of Christ. He has won the victory, but he hasn't claimed it yet. Won the victory at the cross. But that's one of the things, the loss of the immediate offer of the kingdom. It also validated this Cornelius event that is in Acts 10 and 11. It also validated the re-inviting of the Greeks into the little flock Church of God as it was diminishing there after its fall. starting with Peter's visit to Cornelius in Acts 10, verses 9 to 16. And also it validated the changes that were coming soon in Syrian Antioch. And we'll see that in Acts 11, 26. Saul of Tarsus had not been saved by Israel's doctrine or gospel. If there was still only Israel's way of coming to God, Saul would still be unforgivable. He was not saved that way. He was not even forgivable that way. Saul of Tarsus was not saved until after Israel fell in Acts 7. Then God started a new pattern by which to save Paul and those who thereafter believe on Christ to life everlasting. God could start a new pattern of salvation because Israel had walked away from God's covenant to them. And that included, the covenant included, I will curse him that curseth thee, as the Gentiles had been doing. How could God save them that he promised in his covenant that he would curse them? Well, Israel had walked away from the covenant. They were no longer God's people. I should post... Does somebody have a poster if they would post Hosea 1:9, remembering that lo am I is described there in the verse. It means not God's people, and God said, I will not be their God. Wow. I would hate to have that said about me, but we can't because we're sealed in Christ. As a believer, if you believe that Christ died for your sins and that's your hope of salvation, you're saved. The Jerusalem church initially sent Barnabas to Syrian Antioch after that scattering, and there were some people meeting there as the church of God. That's believers. That's not a synagogue. That's believers that were scattered from the church. Barnabas, when he went there, he saw the grace of God displayed in that Jew and Greek church of God. That's in Acts 11:23, it says, as it had been displayed in Acts 4:33 with the multitudes there. He saw the same grace of God in saving people that didn't deserve it. It was some of that grace and truth that Jesus Christ had visited Israel with for about 3 years. But Israel was not under a dispensing of grace. They were under the law. They were under the covenants. They were under circumcision. They had all these things to do, and they had to believe when the prophet came that was like unto Moses, they had to believe him, and that's where they failed, not believing that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Barnabas went from Syrian Antioch to Tarsus to seek Saul, and brought him to Syrian Antioch. And that's where Saul taught the gospel of God believers for a whole year. They wouldn't have been in that church of God with the little flock. They wouldn't have been part of that little flock or the kingdom believers if they did not believe the gospel of God, that Jesus is the Son of God, one thing. The second thing, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one to rule the kingdom. And thirdly, that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. So that's the gospel of God, and that's all of those people there at Antioch believed that when Barnabas brought Saul back to Antioch to preach to them. And it says that he preached to them for a whole year. That's in Acts 11, 25, and 26. Let me show you six consistent reasons why I strongly believe that something began there in Syrian Antioch. Something began. And when I say consistent reasons, I'm referring to 2 Peter 1, verse 20, that no scripture is of private interpretation. It's not to be interpreted privately, apart from the meaning of the entire scriptures rightly divided. Since God does not double talk or contradict himself, all six reasons that we give here should be in agreement. Before I explain each of these six reasons, I'm just going to list them. Okay? It'll be about a paragraph long list, but and we'll try to explain it after we list them here. Firstly, just a minute. The little flock knew and believed and even preached the gospel of God before and during their scattering. Their scattering, which came before Antioch, you know. Secondly, we're going to consider Jerusalem's sendings, who they sent where, you know, Philip and Barnabas and Peter and John, Jerusalem's sending. The third thing, we're going to consider relief, the aid that the body of Christ churches gave to those kingdom saints in Jerusalem, in the Church of God, that had given up everything. They had sold all their property, given it to the apostles, so that they could live as the kingdom was given to them, as promised. And it is going to be given to them, but Israel fell in the meantime. So that's something that's yet future when the Lord returns. But there's a relief, you know what relief is, giving to help people that are in financial need. And starting with the Syrian Antioch Assembly, there in Acts 11, verses 27 to 30, the body of Christ churches fed the Church of God in Jerusalem. Okay, that's three things. Fourth thing, later in Romans 16, verses 25 and 26, Paul explicitly told us in his letter there to the Romans how he first established believers who believed the gospel of God, how he established them with the gospel of Christ that he called my gospel. It was a gospel of salvation, unlike the gospel of God. And he followed, well, he was preaching Jesus Christ, but he was not preaching Jesus Christ according to prophecy or according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He was preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Revelation or revealing, it's the telling of the secret, the mystery, what had been kept secret. And that would take the remainder of that whole year that it said Paul taught the believers and seekers assembled there in Syrian Antioch in the meeting. Fifthly, we're going to look at Antioch's sendings, the sending out that Antioch did. And then sixthly, the term Christian is an honorable term. Honorable term. It's not a derogatory term. So we'll look at those six things. They show why the Syrian Antioch Assembly there, meeting with Paul, became well-known brethren, identified as Christians, Christ's ones, a remnant of Israel's disciples that had elected to receive God's grace during a dispensing of the gospel of Christ that leads into the body of Christ. The first point in those six, the little flock knew and believed and even preached the gospel of God before their scattering and during the scattering. The scriptural accounts prove that unlike the apostate Jews, the Jews in the little flock had already believed. They had not only believed, they had preached the gospel of God by the time of their scattering. The scattering, and those scattered, the little flock believers, preached what they had believed. It's in the scriptures that they preached it. They believed what they'd been taught. So let's see what Peter had taught them. Peter was a believer in the gospel of God, and he preached it in Acts chapter 2 at the Pentecost meeting there. Our feast, chapter 2, verses 29 to 30. We'll look at those four verses, 29 to 32, in Acts 2. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Verse 31, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. So sure, the Antioch meeting there, the Syrian Antioch meeting, started with the Jewish little flock disciples that had been scattered from Jerusalem. Some of them went north, downhill to Syrian Antioch, and started meeting as the Jewish Church of God that had been added to, if you recall in the Pentecost meeting after that, it says they were added to the church in Acts 2:47. But when did they start being called the Church of the Gentiles? To see that, let's first see what the Bible says that those scattered Jews did as they scattered. And we're going to take a while because it's emphatic. It's very common. I mean, it's a lot of places that it tells this. Okay, Stephen was stoned immediately before the scattering, but see what he preached. What did he preach? Stephen, it's in line with what the scattered Jews believed and preached also. Looking at Acts 7, verse 51. You do always, let's see, I'm reading too far ahead here. Acts 7:51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Do you realize Stephen just called the high priest of Israel uncircumcised in heart and ears? You do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you. Verse 52. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one being the anointed one, Christ, of whom you have now been the betrayers and the murderers. Verse 53, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. So they fell short in that area too. Acts 7:54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Verse 56, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Well, here we see that Stephen preached that Jesus is the just one, now resurrected in heaven. That's two of the 3 points of the gospel of God. He did that in Acts 7:51 to 56. And later on, Ananias, the one that, not the one that got struck dead, but the one that the Lord sent to restore Saul's sight on the road to Damascus, Ananias identified the just one as Jesus Christ that appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. That's in Acts 22, verse 14. Later yet, Paul identified that just one as being the righteous judge that appeared to him on the road to Damascus. That's in 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. I want to read a couple verses here. Acts 22:14, that we just, these two that we're talking about here. The first one by Ananias, reporting about Paul, and about Christ appearing to Paul. And then later on, we'll read 2 Timothy 4:8, Paul's record of it. Acts 22:14. And he said, "The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldst know his will, and see that just one, and shouldst hear the voice of his mouth." And then in 2 Timothy 4:8, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, with which the Lord, the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not only me, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." So these verses prove that Stephen was a gospel of God believer, preaching the gospel of God. Well, next, let's look at Philip. What did he believe and preach? We'll see that what he believed and preached in Acts 8. We're going to start in verse 5. "Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." You know that that's not talking about preaching where he lived and what color his hair was and stuff like that. No, he's preaching the important facts as you see in other places. He preached Christ unto them. What did Philip preach about Christ? Philip identified Christ as Jesus, resurrected from the dead. Philip was a gospel of God believer, preaching it. He was preaching the gospel of God. As we can see in Acts 8:35, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." Well, that's part of the gospel of God there when you connect the two verses, that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. What did Philip preach to that eunuch? The eunuch about Jesus. Philip had no doubts about what he was to preach. Philip went about preaching the gospel of God and identified Jesus as the prophesied one that they'd been waiting for. Romans 1:2. The risen Messiah. Romans 1 verses 3 and 4. The Son of God. And again, Philip was a gospel of God believer, preaching it, preaching the gospel of God. And we can see that very fact more specifically two verses later in Acts 8:37. Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." Please, don't overlook the importance of this indicator of the veracity of your Bible. If your Bible does not have Acts 8:37, the Gospel of God declaration, in it, then you don't have the preserved, pure Word of God, the King James Bible. Acts 8:37, "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Philip identified who Jesus was by name. The name of Jesus identified him by including that Jesus is the risen Lord Jesus Christ. The name of Christ. That's why during a dispensation of the gospel of Christ, they were to believe in the name of Jesus. Again, Philip was a gospel of God believer preaching the gospel of God. Next, we're going to look at accounts of multiple disciples doing what Philip did, preaching the gospel of God. But it's not just one person, it's groups. Look at Acts 8, verse 4. "Therefore they," that's plural, that's a group, "they that were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." All those scattered people, it says, they preached the word, the news, that Jesus is the Christ. That verse describes multiple scattered gospel of God believers preaching the gospel of God. They were gospel of God believers because they were in the church of God in Jerusalem. They were with the 12 apostles. Acts 8, verse 12. But when they, that's plural, that's a group of people, when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. That was multiple disciples believing the name of Jesus Christ, his identity, which is the gospel of God. Again, that was gospel of God believers preaching the gospel of God. Let's look down in Acts 9 at verse 21. Now, Paul, had just before, in the verse before this, it says, straightway he preached unto them Jesus, that he is the Christ, I think is the term used in that verse. It had to do with the gospel of God, though. Let's see, Acts 9:20, and it says that he is the Son of God. So, let's see, verse 21, and all that heard him were amazed and said, is this not he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests. They wanted to capture him. But, well, who did they want to capture? Them which called on this name in Jerusalem, talking about Jesus. And they were preaching it. Those that were called the them were them which called on this name, the them, they were scattered, gospel of God believers preaching the gospel of God. In a special purpose event, Israel event, Peter preached the gospel of God to Cornelius. In Acts 10, this is after the fall of Israel, and after Paul was saved, there's no indication that Peter knew about the road to Damascus event there and the salvation of Paul. Didn't know about it when this happened, as far as we can tell. But if you look in Acts 10, 36, and we'll go on down through at least 41, probably 43. Acts 10, 36, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel. Is that me? That's not me. I'm not children of Israel. God didn't send that word to us. He sent the word to us through Paul. This is Acts 10:36. This is Peter. And it says, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he's Lord of all. Verse 37, that word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached. So that's definitely not talking about what hadn't started until Acts 9 with the salvation of Paul. It's talking about Israel's gospel, Israel's events. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. He was offering proof, the proof that they needed, that he was bringing in the kingdom and that all they had to do was believe. Acts, believe that he was, they had to add belief that he was the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. Add that to all those other things, keeping the law, keeping the covenants, circumcision, keeping the Sabbath. So, but all they had remaining to do was to believe the gospel of God, and they failed at it. Acts 10:39, and we are witnesses of all these, of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Verse 40, him God raised up the third day. Do you hear the gospel of God penetrating throughout all this? That's what he's emphasizing. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us. Not you and me, but Peter that's talking and the apostles. who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Verse 42. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. Verse 43. To him give all the prophets witness. Romans 1:2. That through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. So years later, in the Acts 20 time period, when Paul wrote the Romans epistle about Israel's mistakes there in Romans 9, 10, and 11, Israel's resultant status falling, and the effect that Cornelius event had, he wrote this in Romans 10, verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the name, shall be saved. Israel refused to call on the name of the Lord. They said, he is not God. He is not the Son of God. He is not the Messiah. And certain places, they even recognized that he was something out of the ordinary, that he did have special powers, that he had raised from the dead. He said that, I think this was a meeting among the chief priests, I should say. Some of you probably remember this, but said that we can't agree with him because the Romans will come and take away our place and our nation. And so they felt that they had to, or at least they used that as an excuse, to counter, to be against Jesus and not to believe in the name of Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God. Romans 10, verse 12 that we just read is a proof that by the time Paul wrote it, Israel had fallen. By Romans 20 when he wrote that. Before, we know it's before that, but we know it certainly had already fallen by that time. It was no longer being offered the at-hand kingdom that Christ had commissioned his apostles to go only to Israel, announcing the at-handedness of the kingdom, not to the Gentiles or to the Samaritans. It was too late. That was over with. After the Cornelius event, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. It's not saying the Jew and the Gentile now. It's the Jew and the Greek. And we're going to close soon. But apostate Israel rejected the facts of who Jesus is. They fought the little flock believers in the gospel of God. The multiple little flock believers preached the gospel of God as they scattered. Look at Acts 11:19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon this persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but to Jews only. That was scattered gospel of God believers preaching the gospel of God in Antioch of Syria. So we'll stop there and try to pick it up tomorrow.